Hello and welcome to Ox Talk on Tuesday, the 24th of February 2026. My name is Jake and I'll be compiling this week's edition, in which you will hear a selection of news items from the local Oxford papers, chosen and read by Kristen Dennison and Margaret Simpson. Copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Sunrise today is at 6:56 a.m. and sunset is at 5:31 p.m. Before we start, here is some information on how to listen to Ox Talk on your Alexa device. At the end of the news, you can hear information on how to access Ox Talk online.
Notice to listeners of Ox Talk who may wish to use an Alexa smart speaker to access our service. To listen to Ox Talk on an Alexa device, you can use the Talking Newspaper skill. You will need to first enable the skill. To do this, simply say, "Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper." Then, to listen to Ox Talk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News. Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have any problems listening to Ox Talk using an Alexa device, it could be due to the way that your device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set it up in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Ox Talk and we will try to help.
Fears have been raised that major growth plans for Oxford are overlooking key issues with infrastructure and affordable housing and could leave the city at risk of strangling itself. Proposals to turbocharge housing, employment, and infrastructure growth are being set out by the Oxford Growth Commission, which was established last year. The commission will produce a final report in autumn, which will include recommendations to government ministers on how they can support growth in the city and its surrounding areas. An interim report was published in December, which outlines the commission's views so far. It includes promoting plans for more railway stations in the county, including the Cowley Branch Line, addressing congestion issues by improving public transport, and prioritizing high-density housing at key sites, including targeted release of greenbelt land for development where it is needed. But think tank Poets, Planning Oxfordshire's Environment and Transport Sustainably, says the commission needs to go further in its ambitions with its final report, set to be published in autumn. Katie Barrett, a member of the group, said, "We would expect the final report to contain much more about the step changes needed to bring about long-term investment in infrastructure and social housing, including innovative measures that could be tested here in Oxfordshire. Simply issuing targets for growth, identifying more land for development, reducing regulations, and limited ad hoc funding will not work in the long term. Oxford would be at risk of strangling itself by damaging the very assets that have attracted economic investment to Oxford and Oxfordshire in the past." The group said that they welcome elements of the report, such as tackling existing inequalities through growth and increasing housing density at key sites, but they said that the lack of funding for affordable homes and infrastructure gets scant attention and that the imbalance between employment and housing sites were set to get worse. They also added that growth needed to bring benefits for the whole community, including developing local skills, particularly in deprived areas, and that growth needs to be balanced with climate, health, and sustainability. Leader of Oxford City Council, Susan Brown, who sits on the Growth Commission, said she welcomed the initial report. She added, "The report provides the interim findings of the Commission's work over the previous 9 months. It focuses on recommendations addressing the most pressing issues facing the area, including the environment, infrastructure, and affordable housing, as highlighted by Poets. It has a clear set of objectives around delivering affordable homes, including the need for Oxfordshire's authorities to come together to deliver the government's new housing targets as a minimum, and support the council's policies for inclusive growth, including our community employment and procurement plan policy, ongoing work with partners on skills, strategies, and infrastructure, and our focus on building truly affordable homes. We will continue to work with the Oxford Growth Commission to make sure the final report supports the city and government's ambition for growth in a way that supports local communities, balances climate pressures, and reduces the strain on more rural areas. She added that the council's proposal for a greater Oxford Council under local government reorganization, which would cover the city and its greenbelt, shows the need for growth to be balanced with sustainability and climate pressures. It concentrates growth in and around the city, close to amenities and public transport, which aligns with the report's findings that targeted greenbelt release in suitable locations is the most appropriate way to meet housing requirements with overall lower environmental impact. The Oxford Growth Commission was first announced by Chancellor Rachel Reeves at the start of last year as part of plans to unlock growth in the Oxford-Cambridge Growth Corridor. It is independent of the government and contains representatives from Oxford City Council, Oxfordshire County Council, the University of Oxford, Oxford Brookes, Homes England, and Advanced Oxford. Neil Coleman, CBE, who led the development of the London 2012 Olympics and Paralympics Games, was appointed as chair of the Growth Commission in May 2025. In the foreword to the report, he said, "Taking full advantage of Oxford and Oxfordshire's unique assets is necessary to achieve the government's national ambitions for its defining mission of economic growth. But success in achieving economic growth will also need a strategy for sustainable and inclusive growth that delivers real benefits and improved quality of life to communities across the county." He added that there was a need for strategy to join up transport, new affordable housing, net zero, nature, and employability with growth. A vital element in such a strategy is aligning economic growth with requirements for new housing to improve affordability and reduce commuting pressures. However, for some time there has been no countywide strategy. This alignment has not been achieved, and housing affordability and congestion have worsened. The report lists 10 opportunity areas for development, which would be a useful starting point for councils, developers, and landowners to focus on housing delivery. These include Oxford's West End, areas of Littlemore and Cowley that will be served by the Cowley branch line, the Kidlington and Oxford Parkway area, and Oxford East near Oxford Brookes University and the Warnford Hospital. Outside the city, the Salt Cross, Ensham and Whitney area, the Abingdon, Cullum and Dalton Barracks area, Milton Park, Didcot Central, Harwell, Bicester and Hayford Park are also mentioned. The Ministry for Housing, Communities and Local Government was contacted for comment.
Residents in Greater Leas and Blackbird Leas are being invited to help shape the future of their community. An information session will be held at the Barn to discuss a major opportunity for community-led change, funded through the government's National Pride in Place programme. The scheme targets long-term investment in neighbourhoods and has earmarked up to £20 million for selected areas. The engagement event, hosted by Oxford City Council and Annalise Dodds, MP, will be held on Saturday, February the 28th, from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. The board will be chaired by an independent chair to ensure the programme remains community-driven and connected to local needs. Annalise Dodds, MP for Oxford East, said, "Greater Leas residents know their estate better than anyone else. I want to make sure that every pound of this £20 million goes to the things that matter to you the most. Whether that's better health and well-being services, support for children and younger people, safer and cleaner streets, skills and education provision, or better parks and green spaces, it should be you who sets the priorities. This is your chance to improve Greater Leas." Residents will be able to learn more about the Pride in Place programme, share their views, and consider ways to get involved. The funding will support a 10-year investment programme for Greater Leas, which includes parts of both Northfield Brook Ward and Blackbird Lees Ward. I'm looking forward to working with you to make sure this money is spent wisely, transparently, and in line with your priorities, says Miss Dodds. Together, as local people, businesses, councils, and community groups, we can make the most of this once-in-a-generation opportunity for Greater Lees. The heart of the programme is a new neighbourhood board made up of residents and representatives from local businesses, faith groups, voluntary organisations, the local MP and a councillor. The board will be responsible for developing the long-term plan and overseeing delivery. Less formal involvement opportunities will also be available for those unable to join the board.
Plans have got in for a huge new 3,000-home village to be built south of Oxford. Located just south of the city beyond Grenoble Road, the site has been earmarked for a major new development of a brand new residential-led community since 2019. Dubbed South Oxfordshire Science Village, the new community would also include so-called affordable housing provision and homes with care for older people. It would encompass up to 10 hectares of land to be used for employment as an extension to nearby Oxford Science Park. The proposed development also includes primary and secondary schools, local centers, community spaces, playing pitches, and other play, sports, and leisure areas, and between 6 and 10 pitches for gypsies and travelers. The site, bordered to the north by the southern boundary of the city of Oxford, to the west by the A4074 Reading Road, to the east by the Sanford Brake Woodland around the Cali Electricity Substation, is comprised of 147 hectares in total. The site is owned by Oxford City Council, Thames Water, and Magdalen College, but sits within South Oxfordshire District Council's boundaries, who will have the final say on the proposal as a local planning authority. Preparing the document on behalf of South Oxfordshire Science Village, a company owned by Magdalen College, applicants Sevilles and Gummerleiths indicate the eventual outline application for the new village would have all matters reserved except for access. It was highlighted that access would be proposed from Grenoble Road to the north and from the A4074 to the west. At this stage only, a pre-application environmental impact assessment has been submitted, a document which asks for an agreement from the planning authority on what would have to be included in an environmental statement to be submitted within the outline planning application. The applicant said, given the stage of the project, design work remains ongoing and will evolve as matters progress. The site south of Grenoble Road has been earmarked for development since 2019, when an agreement was made with Oxford City Council and Oxford University's Magdalen College. As Greenbelt land, the site was incorporated into South Oxfordshire District Council's Local Plan 2035 in 2020 as a strategic allocation for thousands of new homes, but one stipulation of the deal was that at least half of them need to be of affordable tenure. Cabinet members on the City Council previously said they hoped a planning application would be submitted by the end of 2023, but the long-awaited proposal is only beginning to emerge now, 3 years later. The development aims to support the reintroduction of the Cali Branch Line, connecting London, South Oxford, and Central Oxford, which was bestowed £120 million in central government funding to reopen to passengers after 60 years in October last year.
The Friends of Kennington Library are asking for help so that the library can remain open in the future. And this month, we are celebrating 15 years of successful partnership between the Friends of Kennington Library and Oxfordshire Library Service. Kennington is very lucky to have a lovely, warm, friendly local library with access to a great range of books and other resources, as well as talks and activities for all ages. But did you know that the library opening hours depend on volunteers providing help to the library. They owe a massive thanks to the people who have given their time over the past 15 years, as well as those who continue to work in the library now. We are always looking for new volunteers, whether regular or occasional. If you are over 18 and are available during the week, Monday, Wednesday and Friday, then this could be a good opportunity for you to support the library. Sessions are for 1.5 hours. You can choose which days you are available and you won't be asked to work more than one session a week, usually less than that. If you love books and reading, you will find it rewarding being part of this valuable service. Full training is provided, no experience is needed, and you will always work alongside a member of the library service itself.
Plans for 3,000 homes outside Oxford would be detrimental to the local environment, and more needs to be done about sewage systems, a councillor has said. South Oxfordshire Science Village Limited have submitted a screening opinion application for the homes to be built on land south of Grenoble Road, east of the A4074. It also includes 10 hectares of employment land, including an extension to Oxford Science Park, schools, a local center, and a new park and ride. The site is part of South Oxfordshire District Council's boundaries, but it aims to meet Oxford's housing needs and would be served by the upcoming Cowley Branch line. Green Councillor Sam Casey-Rahay, who represents the area on the District Council, said, "The development is very large and will be detrimental to the natural environment around there, so a screening and environmental scoping report is really important to quantify and minimize this. More housing is needed in our area, but it needs to be affordable and of the right type and quality. By lobbying the inspector at the last inspection, I and my fellow councillors managed to ensure 50% affordable houses for the sites around Oxford. Many people cannot afford housing costs in our area, but thousands of more private sector homes is not the solution. The sewage works are in desperate need of an upgrade and expansion to cope with the already pressured demand on it, never mind the thousands more homes and businesses due to be built there. Repeated raw sewage dumping into the River Thames at Sanford is terrible and has come out of chronic underinvestment from a broken organization." She added that she was working with the developers to make sure the site has active travel links and is not reliant on cars, and an update on the sewage works is a priority. The development has been in the pipeline for years, with Oxford City Council giving officers the thumbs up to start drawing up plans for the site in 2021. The land was owned by the City Council and Magdalen College, but the City Council sold its share of the land to Magdalen College, who owned the development company behind the application. Labour Councillor Linda Smith, who is the City Council's Cabinet Member for Housing, said she met with the consultants working for the developer. She added, "I made the case for the maximum possible number of affordable homes. This development has great potential to provide affordable, secure, and high-quality homes in a highly sustainable location for people wanting to live and work in Oxford. I also stressed the importance of an upgrade to the sewage works, which sit on the site to reduce odors, which are problematic at times. Finally, I stress the importance of easy access to green open space for residents of the Lees, and my hope that green corridors will be maintained through the new buildings to continue to give local people access to nature and the countryside beyond. Oxford City Council wants to create a Greater Oxford Council, which will cover the city and its greenbelt, including the lands south of Grenoble Road, as part of the government's plans to reorganize local authorities." Councillor Smith added, "If a Greater Oxford Unitary Council is created during local government reorganization, it would be able to go even further in providing the affordable homes our city needs." Councillor Casey-Rahay described the government's push to remove protections on the Greenbelt as extremely damaging. She added, "There is little evidence that concentrating so much development in our area will help with the big inequalities across the country. Oxfordshire is both water-stressed and very prone to flooding. More and more development will only exacerbate this and not help depressed areas that need investment."
3 new engineering apprenticeship opportunities were being offered by Oxford Bus Group as part of the launch of a recruitment campaign timed to coincide with National Apprenticeship Week, which was February the 9th to the 15th. The apprenticeships will be available across sites in Bourton-on-the-Water, Cheltenham and either Oxford or Didcot. Luke Marion, Managing Director of Oxford Bus Group, said, "Apprenticeships are vital in providing the skills and experience to forge exciting long-term careers in the bus and coach sector. We are proud to be offering three more apprenticeship opportunities across the business later this year and would urge anyone interested to visit the website for further details. Apprenticeships are a great way to upskill our workforce while bringing more diversity and innovation into our business. This investment from parent company Go Ahead has created an excellent opportunity for people considering a career in engineering, and we are committed to broadening access for underrepresented groups, including women, into engineering roles."
A university college plans to evict the city's much-loved Oxfam bookshop in the city center to make more room for its students. Regents Park College has submitted a change of use application to convert the ground floor and basement of 56 St. Giles, where the bookshop operates, from retail use to academic use. Under the plans, the premises would be used as a middle common room, MCR, which is a community space for graduate students to socialize and study. In its planning statement, the college said that its graduate student numbers had increased by 5 times since 2005, when it established a formal graduate community. It added, "The existing MCR, located underground and accessed solely via a narrow staircase, has no windows for natural light or ventilation and is wholly unsuitable for a community of more than 150 members. It is entirely inaccessible to students with mobility or other access requirements, and there is no realistic scope to adapt the space to meet contemporary standards. The university has drawn attention to the importance of suitable, inclusive facilities for postgraduate students, and the college must respond." The proposed use of the ground floor and basement of No. 56 St. Giles represents the only viable option to provide a fit-for-purpose MCR and dedicated postgraduate study space that meets current needs and enables a vastly improved student experience. The store at St. Giles is one of two Oxfam bookshops in the city, with another one at Turl Street. There are more Oxfam stores in the city center at Broad Street, as well as on Cowley Road in East Oxford and in Somertown. Labor Councillor Susanna Pressel, who represents Jericho and Osney on the county council, said, "I was shocked to hear that we may be losing the Oxfam bookshop in St. Giles. Far too much of that street is already made up of institutional buildings. The thousands of people who walk up and down there every day need interesting premises to look at, like shops, cafes, and pubs, not yet another dead frontage. The bookshop is a brilliant place for browsing, in search of a bargain. And of course, to make room for more books, many of us have to have an occasional clear out of some of our old books, and that is a handy place to drop them off. The fact that it is such a good cause is an added incentive to buy and to donate. We need an imaginative solution to save the Oxfam bookshop." When contacted for comment, Oxfam said that they would await the decision on the application and that there were no immediate plans to move.
Pupils welcomed police officers to their school as they learnt about the work of the force. The officers visited early years children at Glory Farm School in Bicester and discussed their responsibilities, tools and the role they play in ensuring safety. Children had a chance to see the police car and understand the daily duties of a police officer. They shared an interactive experience with essential equipment and witnessed a live demonstration of the police car sirens. A member of staff for Glory Farm Primary School said, "Reception had some special visitors. Two police officers came into our classroom to tell us all about the role of the police force, showed us different equipment, and even set off their sirens. Thank you so much. We all learnt a lot. Glory Farm Primary is part of the Acer Multi-Academy Trust, based in Oxfordshire, and currently consists of 5 primary schools and 4 secondary schools.
Passengers in Oxford feel betrayed because funding to create a new western entrance to the railway station has not yet been signed off. Earlier this month, there was a week-long closure of the tracks at the station so a new rail bridge could be installed as part of a major network rail upgrade at the station, which so far cost an estimated £237 million. The new bridge is now in place and will boost capacity, together with a new Platform 5, once it is built. Contractors are now working to install drainage around the new bridge, and the Botley Road, closed at the rail bridge since 2023, is due to reopen in August. But major elements of the scheme to improve the station, including providing a new western entrance to the station and a new Platform 5, have not yet been costed and work has not yet started. The cost of the work so far in and around the Botley Road has risen from £161 million to £237 million following lengthy delays. A spokesman for Network Rail said, "The latest estimate for the Oxford Phase 2 project, including the works associated with Botley Road, is £237.4 million. This estimate includes enhancements of the Oxford North Junction completed in July 2023. This work improved journey times and provided additional capacity for services including East-West Rail. This estimate excludes work to complete a new western entrance to the station and a new platform. A cost and completion date for these works have yet to be agreed with the Department for Transport. The project is on schedule to reopen Botley Road in August 2026. Former County Councillor John Howson, who lives close to the rail station, said residents felt betrayed by Network Rail, Great British Railways, and the Department for Transport. He added, "The cost of the additional work on the Botley Road should not have been taken from the original project cost, and if it has been, the Department of Transport should now announce the funding for either the western entrance and Platform 5 or the complete rebuilding of Oxford Station within the current capital project timeframe for the railways. Residents of West Oxford and Botley will accept nothing less after 3 years of misery. The shambles of the project to date and lack of a guarantee of a western entrance will now become a part of the election campaign for city council elections in May." West Oxford community campaigner Julian LeVay last month estimated the final cost of the scheme, including the completion of work on the Botley Road, the installation of the new rail bridge, the creation of a new western entrance, and the provision of a new platform, could amount to between £331 million and £381 million. He said he believed work to create a new western entrance would eventually go ahead, adding, "They have to completely rebuild the western side of the station in order to accommodate the extra railway line, which is the whole point of the entire exercise. The new entrance is a significant piece of work since it involves tunneling under the entire station to provide direct access to platforms."
Budding musicians were given the chance to learn songwriting from BBC broadcaster and choir master Gareth Malone. 11 Year 10 pupils from Oxford Spires Academy took part in the special lesson, which was designed to support them in developing their GCSE music skills. Gareth Malone's support gave the students the chance to explore songwriting in a deeper way, develop their musical ideas, and build confidence in their own ability to create and perform. Student Pippa said, "It was an incredible experience meeting new people and developing my composition skills." Cameron said, "It was fun to work in an ensemble and experience a different environment." JJ added, "It was good that groups were mixed and there were biscuits." The workshop took place at St Mark's Academy in Mitcham, attracting pupils from other schools within the Anthem Schools Trust. It was organised as part of Anthem Aspire, the Trust's new enrichment programme aimed at providing life-changing activities and opportunities to nearly 8,000 students across its network of 15 schools. The Music Without Limits element of the programme aims to give every student access to high-quality instrumentational tuition and music experiences. Louise Cowley, head teacher of Oxford Spires Academy, said, "We were delighted that one of our students was able to participate in the songwriting workshop led by Gareth Malone. Opportunities like this play a key role in building confidence, encouraging creativity, and helping young people find their voice." Elmer Lawson, Executive Director of Education at Anthem Schools Trust, said, "I know from personal experience that music changes the lives of young people. It develops their confidence, their self-belief, it helps them connect with others, and it helps them discover their own potential. This is why Anthem Schools Trust is delighted to be in partnership with Gareth Malone, reclaiming music education for every child, regardless of postcode, income, or experience. This is about more than enrichment. It is about equity, and we know that confidence changes everything." David Hatchett, Chief Executive of Anthem School Trust, said, "Our vision for Anthem is to create ambitious and successful schools in which every child thrives, and Anthem Aspire is a powerful and tangible expression of our commitment to that. By offering exceptional opportunities like this songwriting workshop with Gareth Malone, we are making sure that every child, regardless of background, can access transformational experiences that will help them excel in school and beyond."
The long-running Wallingford Pancake Day race returned to the town on Shrove Tuesday for some pancake-flipping fun. Youngsters and older runners took part, with hundreds of locals and people from further afield turning out to support the long-standing event. John Houston of Wallingford has faithfully organized the annual event for 17 years now and said this year's was a great time, too. "It was great. We really had a good day, and we were glad the rain stopped," Mr. Houston said. "We were a little worried because it was half term, and the schools normally bring all the kids down for the morning, but we had just as many as ever. We're definitely getting a reputation for it now, and we set the town off for it." More than 100 children took part in the 5 kids' running races hosted throughout the morning, and 20 people competed in the adults' race for the coveted Golden Frying Pan Prize. Participants can turn up on the day with nothing but a frying pan to take part, as pancakes are provided and fancy dress is encouraged. The race is a short loop around Marketplace with the added requirement of a pancake flip at the start line.
Drivers are being warned they face delays at a new £36 million junction for the A34 north of Abingdon. Oxfordshire County Council is working with contractors to create a new interchange for drivers at Lodge Hill, and the project is expected to be completed by the end of the year. The junction at Lodge Hill only has north-facing slip roads, but the upgrade will add new south-facing slip roads, as well as making cycling and walking easier and safer in the area. Adding the south-facing slip roads will remove traffic from the centre of Abingdon, as some drivers will no longer have to travel through Abingdon to access the A34 southbound at the Marcham interchange. Abingdon Town Council shared the latest Lodge Hill interchange update from Oxfordshire County Council. It said, "On Tuesday, February the 17th, between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m, we will be installing some two-way temporary traffic lights on a section of the northbound lane of the A4183 Oxford Road, approximately 80 metres north of the northbound on the slip to the A34. The road will not be closed and no diversions will be required during the installation. However, there may be brief periods where both signals are held on red to allow equipment to be put in place. It added, once installed, the two-way traffic lights will operate 24/7 for approximately 4 weeks. This is to enable us to safely connect the new pathway alignment to the existing pathway. During these works, a safe pedestrian access will be provided through this section of the road. The A34 and existing Lodge Hill slip roads will remain open throughout. One driver, who asked not to be named, pointed out that there have been traffic delays recently in South Abingdon, partly due to roadworks on St Helens Wharf. She said, South Abingdon is experiencing severe worsening traffic congestion, particularly affecting the A415, Bridge Street, Caldicott Road and Drayton Road areas, often causing gridlock during peak hours. Key impacts include significant roadworks such as gas repairs on St Helens Wharf, increased traffic volume and increased traffic related to the new housing development. If your only option from Caldicott Road area is to enter traffic onto Drayton Road roundabout, you now need to time it perfectly, at times up to an hour for journeys during peak times and on Saturday and Sundays too. I would be very interested to hear, will Lodge Hill interchange make a huge difference to our South Abingdon traffic congestion?
Shoppers are being encouraged to check their health while stocking up on groceries. Tesco has partnered with the British Heart Foundation to offer free blood pressure checks at store pharmacies in Oxfordshire during Heart Month. In Oxfordshire, 1 in 12 people are estimated to have undiagnosed high blood pressure. High blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart attacks and strokes, but it often has no symptoms and frequently goes undetected without testing. Tom Lai, Category Director for Health and Wellness at Tesco, said, "We want looking after your health to feel as simple as going into Tesco to do a shop. Our pharmacy teams are here to offer a quick, friendly blood pressure check. No fuss, no appointment needed. A few minutes in store can help to give peace of mind or get you support early if it's needed. The free checks take around 10 minutes and are performed in private consultation rooms by trained Tesco pharmacy staff. Results are explained clearly and customers with high readings are given advice and directed to further support. Tesco pharmacy teams have received specialist Let's Talk training to help them speak sensitively about conditions such as heart disease, cancer, and type 2 diabetes. The campaign is part of the wider Tesco Health Charity Partnership with the British Heart Foundation, Cancer Research UK, and Diabetes UK, which was launched in 2018. Professor Brian Williams, OBE, Chief Scientific and Medical Officer at the British Heart Foundation, said, "High blood pressure affects roughly 1 in 3 adults, yet many people remain unaware they have it because it usually presents no obvious signs. When it goes undetected, it can significantly raise the risk of heart attacks and strokes, which is why it's so important for as many people as possible to get their blood pressure checked. Although high blood pressure can lead to serious health problems if ignored, the positive news is that it can be managed." Professor Williams also said small lifestyle changes like being more active and reducing foods high in fat, salt, and sugar can have a real impact. Medication is also available when needed. He added, "Getting your blood pressure checked at a community location like your local Tesco is quick, straightforward, and could be one of the most vital steps you take to protect your heart and overall health. Know your numbers this Heart Month." In addition to the in-store checks, Tesco is promoting heart-healthy recipes through its magazine and Real Food website to help customers cook with confidence at home.
An Oxford pub has quit its vegan menu after more than 5 years, blaming the Botley Road closure and the Labour government. The Punter on Osney Island ditched meat in the summer of 2020 to move with the times by serving up a vegetarian and vegan menu. As of this month, though, fish is now on the menu, a decision made by bosses due to financial considerations. A spokesman for the pub explained that the closure of the Botley Road bridge by Network Rail for 3.5 years has resulted in the pub losing access to 75% of the city, particularly affecting our target market, including the university. Additionally, the financial pressures imposed on pubs by the Labour government have placed us in a position where we must target a larger percentage of both locals and the city, the pub added. Pubs in Oxfordshire and beyond have said that higher wages, supplies, utility bills, property re-evaluations and the reduction of previous business rates relief mean that many will still see their overall expenses increase this year, despite a 15% discount introduced by the government. In her budget last year, Chancellor Rachel Reeves slashed a discount on business rates for pubs introduced during the pandemic. Following anger from pub owners, a £300 million lifeline for pubs was announced in January in a bid to ease concerns. While we will remain primarily a vegetarian pub, with 60% of our starters and mains continuing to be vegetarian, we will be introducing fish dishes to our menu as of February the 9th. Essentially, we will become a vegetarian pub. We understand that some of our customers may be disappointed with this change, but we hope the majority will understand that this decision was made due to financial considerations. We are excited to serve our new menu and look forward to welcoming you all. Some qualifying businesses affected by the Botley Road closures will receive a share of £850,000 by Network Rail as a goodwill payment for the impact on the lengthy closure. Tom Rainey, landlord of the Punter in South Street, said his pub did qualify for the goodwill payment. He said that the menu's offering had to be enlarged as the pub has lost 3/4 of its target market to the bridge work. Network Rail said it is on track to reopen Botley Road in August 2026 once the bridge works come to an end. Businesses in the area have spoken out about how their trade has been adversely affected by the road closure, and in January, community campaigner Julian LeVay estimated the total loss at £20 million.
Delays to Royal Mail letters and parcels in Oxford and surrounding areas have been described as disappointing by an MP. The company recently issued a warning that there would be service delays in over 100 postcodes across the country due to adverse weather and increased sickness absences. Both the OX3 and OX4 postcodes in Oxford have been affected, as well as OX33, OX44, and OX49, which covers Horsepath, Wheatley, Chalgrove, and Watlington. Annalise Dodds, MP for Oxford East, said, "I have repeatedly raised problems with deliveries in Oxford with Royal Mail, have made a number of visits to local sorting offices, and have discussed these problems with the responsible government minister. The Oxford experience shows that Royal Mail nationally really needs to listen to what posties are saying on the ground. It is disappointing that we seem to be experiencing some deterioration in the service locally again. I'll keep pushing for improvements so that local people can get the postal services they deserve. A spokesman for Royal Mail said that adverse weather, including storms Goretti, Ingrid, and Chandra in January, alongside higher-than-usual sick absence, has caused some short-term disruption to certain routes. We want to reassure customers that the vast majority of mail is delivered as planned and understand how frustrating it is when post does not arrive as expected. A group of MPs within the Business and Trade Committee have written to Royal Mail raising concerns about the chaos in postal services since Christmas. The letter, addressed to Royal Mail's interim chief executive Alastair Cochran and sent on Monday, raised significant concerns about the quality of the postal service being provided by Royal Mail. It adds, "This chaos has continued into mid-February, well beyond the predictable pressures of the Christmas period. The company has been given 2 weeks to respond to allegations that it has been prioritizing parcel deliveries over letters in some depots, even if they are first class, and that these letters are being left in delivery offices for weeks." A spokesman for Royal Mail commented, "We have received the committee's letter and will be replying in detail. We understand how frustrating it is when post does not arrive as expected, and we want to reassure customers that the vast majority of mail is delivered as planned. Issues such as adverse weather and sickness absence have caused some short-term disruption to certain routes."
Two articles from Leila Moran, MP, her newsletter. Leila Moran is the MP for Abingdon and West Oxford. And she says, "I am delighted that Cumnor Hirst, a site of special scientific interest, has been secured for the community by the owners, All Souls College. They accepted a bid from Cumnor Parish Council. The proposed disposal of the site raised concerns about the future of public access and the long-term protection of this much-loved green space. I submitted a testimonial in strong support of the parish council's bid and making the case for the Hirst to remain accessible to the public. I am incredibly pleased that Cumnor Hirst will now be in community ownership, safeguarding both public access and the special environmental value of the site for many years to come." Oxfordshire County Council has confirmed that its offer of free park and ride bus journeys into Oxford will continue until the end of March 2026. Bus operators report a strong increase in usage and have introduced further service improvements as a result. With a valid park and ride parking ticket, up to 2 adults and 3 children can continue to travel for free, offering a more affordable and convenient way to access the city and key destinations such as the hospitals.
Waste crime teams will use drones fitted with laser mapping technology to track illegal waste dumps from the air, the government has announced. The Environment Agency said the drone squad of 33 trained pilots will aim to capture more evidence of illegal dumping and ultimately bring waste criminals to justice. The watchdog said it has also developed a new screening tool that enables its officers to scan and cross-check lorry license applications against waste permit records. Alongside the new surveillance technology, the EA said it has increased the Joint Unit for Waste Crime from 13 to 20 specialists who are working with law enforcement partners to tackle organized crime networks. It comes after a 150-meter-long dump that was found near the River Charwell in Kidlington sparked fury nationwide. Earlier this month, the EA made a fourth arrest, a 52-year-old male from the Ashford in Surrey, over the waste site. Work is expected to begin next month by a contractor to clear the huge pile. Figures obtained under Freedom of Information laws by the BBC found some 517 waste tips were operating at the end of last year, including 11 super sites. But the EA has also ramped up action to tackle the problem, saying it shut down 751 sites in a record year last year. Phil Davies, head of the Joint Unit for Waste Crime Unit, said, "Illegal waste dumping is appalling, and we are determined to turn the tide on this heinous crime. With organized criminals becoming ever more sophisticated, we are adopting new technologies to find and, importantly, to stop them. Through the greater use of drones, stronger partnerships, and more officers on the ground, we will build on our actions so far and send a clear message to those committing waste crimes. We will stop you." The EA has already been flying drones from a dedicated aircraft, mainly to capture flood information, racking up a total of 272 hours in flight time since July last year. But the 54 drones will soon be equipped with light detection and ranging, LIDAR technology, which fires millions of laser points per second towards the ground below to create a detailed map of illegal waste sites. The watchdog said that installing this more precise mapping technology onto drones will allow teams to pinpoint exactly where waste has been dumped and use the maps as evidence in court. Environment Secretary Emma Reynolds said, "This government is aggressively pursuing waste criminals and bringing offenders to justice." She added, "From advanced laser mapping to drone surveillance and new vehicle scanning tools, this technology is helping us track, expose, and stop waste crime, ensuring those who blight our communities are held to account."
Three restaurants in Oxfordshire have been named in the Michelin Guide for the first time in 2026. Named this week are The Nest at the Feathers in Woodstock, Wild at Burford's Bull Hotel, and The Bat and Ball in Cudston are the county's newest entries. The Nest sits inside Woodstock's historic Feathers Hotel, just moments from Blenheim Palace, and serves modern British dishes in an elegant but relaxed dining room. In Burford, Wild is an intimate 10-seat open-fire restaurant in the sunken courtyard of the ultra-stylish Bull Hotel. The Bat and Ball in Cudston is a revamped village pub with Chef Rick Owens, which keeps its community feel while offering an elevated menu of comforting pub classics. Other Oxfordshire entries in the latest guide include The Nut Tree in Mercot, which has retained its Michelin star for the 18th year, making it the only spot in the county with one. Also featured are The Duck on the Pond in South Newington, as well as both The Bull and The Bell in Charlbury. The Swan in Islip is also in the 2026 Michelin Guide, despite its recent closure. Little Milton's The Lamb Inn is also in the list, while so too are the Chandler's Arms in Epwell and the Five Little Pigs in Wallingford.
A church is being celebrated for its decade-long commitment to environmental action. The Diocese of Oxford has praised Holy Trinity Headington Quarry for its progress in creation care, 10 years after it became one of the first churches in the diocese to register for A. Rocha's Eco-Church scheme in 2016. The Right Reverend Mary Gregory, Bishop of Reading and environment lead for the diocese, said, "Huge congratulations to everyone who has been involved in Holy Trinity's Eco Journey over the last 10 years. Your church has been a trailblazer and an inspiration for so many other churches to take steps towards caring for creation. Responding to the climate crisis is one of the Diocese of Oxford's key priorities. We have divested from fossil fuels, committed £10 million to reduce carbon emissions in our clergy houses, and £1.5 million for energy efficiency improvements to our schools. We are supporting churches in exploring how they can become carbon neutral." Holy Trinity launched its Eco Journey with a festival in 2016, featuring talks on sustainable food, solar energy, and eco-friendly travel. Since then, the church has completed numerous projects, including dedicating a parking space for a community car share, installing solar panels on clergy homes, and hosting eco-evensong services in the vicarage garden. It has also focused on practical changes, such as adding a water butt, providing a bike rack, and using thermal imaging to help parishioners improve home energy efficiency. The Reverend Martin Little, vicar of Holy Trinity Headington Quarry, said, "Holy Trinity's ecological focus has been wonderfully sustained and developed over the last 10 years. We are blessed with a beautiful site among fields and woodlands and encourage creation care through our Forest Sunday School. The church's eco group have worked tirelessly to see through major projects like solar panels for the vicarage and curate's house, and we are shortly embarking on a major project to replace our heating system with low-carbon alternatives." The church also shares a weekly eco-tip in its notice sheet and hosts talks on topics like plastic pollution and flood control. Hilary Rowland, who leads the church's eco group, said, "As a church community, we acknowledge the beauty of God's creation and feel it is incumbent on us to work to preserve it for future generations. With its range of age groups and people who midweek have very different destinations, occupations, and experience of life, a church congregation is ideally placed to harness people's varying skills and work together with a common aim. I would encourage all churches to consider signing up to the scheme."
A book donation campaign is underway to inspire a lifelong love of reading. Launched by Oxford-based PR agency Fortitude Communications, the campaign supports the Assisted Reading for Children, otherwise called ARCH, which is a charity and coincides with National Storytelling Week. Fortitude is calling on the public to donate good quality softback books suitable for children aged 3 to 11. Greg Box Turnbull, founder of Fortitude Communications, said, "Reading is a joy and inspires and broadens the mind. It is vital to the development and prospects of children, and it's a profound tragedy many schools now don't think students can even read a full novel anymore. It is an alarming trend. As a team at Fortitude, we all share a passion for storytelling and a deep appreciation of reading, and felt compelled to do something to celebrate books and encourage youngsters to read." Book donations can be dropped off at Fortitude's office at ARC in Cowley. The campaign was launched in response to declining reading habits among children. According to a 2025 survey by the National Literacy Trust, only 1 in 3 children aged 8 to 18 said they enjoyed reading in their free time, a 36% decline over the past 2 decades. Early years charity Kindred Squared also reported that 28% of children start primary school unable to use a book correctly. Mr. Box Turnbull added, "ARCH was the perfect partner for us. It's long championed encouraging children to read and proactively inspires hundreds to actively enjoy reading. National Storytelling Week is a great opportunity to encourage more young people and parents to pick up a book. Our team will be collecting all types of books in the coming weeks, and to anyone who can support our campaign, we'd love to hear from you." More than half of primary school staff said excessive screen time was the biggest factor affecting school readiness, with some parents noting that children try to swipe or tap books as if they were electronic devices. ARCH, based in Bicester, provides one-to-one reading support for primary school children who struggle with literacy. In 2025, the charity supported 910 children across 111 Oxfordshire schools with the help of 301 volunteers. Elaine Adams, joint founder and CEO of ARCH, said, "We are incredibly grateful to Fortitude for their continued commitment to supporting ARCH. This support will help us reach more children and families and inspire a lasting love of books. Books can be donated until Friday, March the 13th. To arrange a drop-off, you can email info@fortitudecommunications.com.
A punk band made up of women aged 50 and over is marking 3 years since it first plugged in. The Hormones are a group of 9 women from Oxford who came together in March 2023 after bassist Deb posted on Facebook asking if anyone was interested in starting an over 50s women's punk band. None of the members, aged between 52 and 79, had even played their instruments before. Deb said, "I've always wanted to play bass, so I got myself a secondhand bass and started learning to play." Inspired by a women's band collective in Leicester, the group embraced a DIY punk spirit and began rehearsing with only 2 cover songs in their repertoire. Lead singer Lisa said, "Within weeks, Deb had booked us to play on the variety stage at Flow Fest 3 months later. We played all 2 of our songs to a very enthusiastic and kind audience. Since that first gig, the Hormones have performed at festivals and venues across Oxfordshire, written original songs, and crowdfunded a recording session to professionally capture 2 of their own tracks." Oldest member Viv, 79, who plays the washboard, said, "It's a whirlwind. I never thought in a million years I would be in a punk band, playing gigs and festivals, writing songs, singing and recording, but here we are, and having a fabulous time doing it." The band regularly organizes and plays fundraising gigs they call punk parties. They have raised hundreds of pounds for community projects, including the Young Women's Music Project, YWMP, and Florence Park Community Center. The Hormones' next punk party fundraiser will take place on Saturday, March 7th at the Community Center. The event will feature Death of the Maiden as headliners and a DJ set from DJ Tarantina. Bex, one of the Hormones' guitarists, said, "These charities are close to our heart. YWMP encourage and enable young women and non-binary people to play instruments and form bands. They also encourage music venues to be safer spaces for all." Florence Park Community Center is a brilliant venue and definitely feels like one of those safer spaces. The Hormones' set list includes classic covers from artists such as Bikini Kill, The Clash, The Ramones, The Cramps, Joan Jett and the Sex Pistols, in addition to their original songs. Band member Laura said, "I would encourage everyone to make some space in their lives for creativity. Take up space and make some noise." More information about the band, upcoming gigs, and the ticket links are available at thehormones.org.
Many people probably don't know where Nicaragua is in the world, let alone that it has a connection with Oxford. The twin city link with Leon in the Central American country was established in 1986 and is marking its 40th anniversary this year. But there is little joy among its dwindling number of supporters, and there are fears that it could soon be wound up. At the annual meeting on Tuesday, February the 24th, members will consider what should happen next. Nicaragua faces challenges such as volcanic eruptions, hurricanes and tidal waves, and the Oxford-Leon Association has organised many events to support families there. Association Secretary Jen Houston says, "We brought over musicians from Leon in 2018, 2019 and 2024 to perform in Oxford, and we had a good 2025. We raised £3,000. But we have not sent a delegation to Leon since 2017. We have no contact with its town hall, and the Nicaraguan embassy in London has closed. There is no other support for our association in the UK or in Nicaragua. It will be very sad to lose our link with Leon after 40 years of solidarity. It has been a very productive and beneficial link to both Oxford and Lyon. We have learned a lot from each other. I have much enjoyed my 9 years as secretary and have met some amazing people in both Oxford and Lyon.
Residents are being invited to pick up free compost as part of a push for greener living. South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse District Councils will host giveaway events in Oxfordshire this March, encouraging the public to make use of recycled, nutrient-rich compost. Sue Cooper, Cabinet Member for Environment at South Oxfordshire District Council, said, "Composting is a simple, sustainable way to give back to the earth. We are delighted to offer residents free compost to help their gardens thrive while reducing waste." Robert Clegg, Cabinet Member for Environmental Services, Climate Action and Nature Recovery at Vale of Whitehorse District Council, said, "This giveaway is a great example of how we can work together to make the most of our resources. Grab your bags, come along, and help to grow a greener future." The events form part of the Council's Rethinking Waste, Waste Resources and Street Cleansing Strategy 2024, which focuses on the key themes of reduce, reuse, recycle, and recover. Giveaways will take place on Saturday, March 7th, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Howbury Business Park, Wallingford, and on Sunday, March 8th, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Overflow Car Park of Whitehorse Leisure and Tennis Center, Abingdon. Households can collect up to 3 bags of compost while supplies last, and residents are asked to bring their own bags and spade.
An article from Memory Lane. In gusty conditions, it was a toss-up where pancakes would land in Wallingford's annual pancake race in 1990. The organisers of the charity event, Wallingford and District Lions, insisted that pancakes were tossed out of the pan, not merely carried. That was a strict rule. Anyone who cheated ran the risk of being eliminated and perhaps face even further punishment from their race rivals. The winning trophy and champagne that year went to Ken Fulker of Flint & Co., who completed 15 laps of the town centre course within the 10-minute target. He finished 2 laps ahead of second-placed runner Steve Andrews of the Archer Fisher Company. If there were any pancake-tossing races this year, they most certainly would have been very wet events.
Oxford United will celebrate the 40th anniversary of their historic Milk Cup victory. A special commemoration is planned for Tuesday, April 21st, during a home fixture against Wrexham AFC. On April 20th, 1986, the club achieved footballing glory when Maurice Evans's side won the Milk Cup, now known as the League Cup, by defeating Queen's Park Rangers 3-0 at Wembley Stadium. This memorable achievement, regarded as the pinnacle in Oxford United's history, will be celebrated with members of the illustrious 1985-86 squad present for the event. Before the anniversary match, some activities will take place to engage and celebrate with the community. A notable highlight is the Milk Cup Trophy Tour, which will visit communities throughout Oxfordshire, providing fans with the chance to see and hold the trophy. Tickets for the anniversary fixture against Wrexham will be available for sale starting Thursday, February 19th at 12 p.m. For all league home matches this season, priority sales windows have been established for ticket sales, allowing dedicated fans first access to secure their seats. Tickets for the home game against the Red Dragons will be released to Old Gold members from Thursday, February 19th at noon. United Oxford members will get access on Friday, February 20th, also at noon, subject to availability. General sales will begin on Friday, February 27th, at the same time, again subject to availability. The Icons restaurant at the club will honor members of the 1985-86 squad, hosting them in the hospitality area. Attendees in the restaurant will have the chance to meet and hear from former players and take photos with the Milk Cup trophy. Because of anticipated high demand for this fixture, hospitality spaces are reportedly filling up quickly. The exhibition bar at Kasam Stadium, next to the ticket office, will embrace a 1986 atmosphere on the night of the Wrexham fixture. Supporters can look forward to meeting former players, learning about the club's glorious journey, and sharing in 1980s-themed activities like classic arcade games and 80s-inspired music. The Milk Cup trophy will also be on display in the exhibition bar ahead of kickoff, allowing fans to take photos with a piece of Oxford United history. Oxford United is keen to hear from supporters who were in the stands on that unforgettable day. Whether it's a unique memory or a jovial moment from watching Oxford United lift the Milk Cup, fans are urged to share their stories via the Oxford United website.
That was the last of our articles for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Ox Talk, please telephone Margaret on 07496 062 280. That's 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. You can also listen on an Alexa device through the Talking Newspapers skill. If you need advice on this, please phone the main Oxtalk number. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday with more news, so until then, we hope you have a good week.